Hey, John.
Oh, that's right. We're doing an episode on loneliness, and he told me to say, "Hey, John," and then pretend like he's not here. And I guess that means that this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
podcast where we help you get unlonely.
That's our job this week. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
John, I know you're a lonely guy. We're going to part the veil a little bit. And you were a little bit nervous to do this episode because it is very close to home.
Yeah. And we did happen to do our bonus episode before this.
Yeah.
And you want to explain a little bit about what that is? Because that was very revealing.
Well, we did a quiz. UCLA has a quiz to figure out where you are on their loneliness scale. So I gave that to John. And to find out the results, you'll have to go to patreon.com/flyingmachine and support us on there to hear June's bonus episode to figure out whether or not John's lonely or
not. Yeah, it's a 43-point scale. Let's just say I got a high score.
You're on the high score leaderboards.
Yeah.
John, the reason that we're talking about loneliness.
I put B-U-T as my name, by the way.
Nice. Yeah. I put mine as ass.
Dude, nice.
Can I say that?
Yeah,
ass?
As long as you refer to a genus of a donkey or something afterwards.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Put it in context.
Yeah. I was referring to Donkey from Shrek.
Right.
He's an ass.
He probably makes that joke in that movie, which is PG.
Yeah. So, John, the reason that we're talking about loneliness in the first place is because one of our listeners, Jason Lee, You know him, you love him. If you're part of our Facebook group, you definitely know who Jason Lee is. He posted a video of people that were like setting up tables in public to just like talk to strangers to reduce loneliness.
Well, he did that as in celebration of this episode coming up. Yeah.
Well, I think he posted a long time ago and then he...
Oh, and redid it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because loneliness, believe it or not, is hazardous to your health. And luckily, we are in the midst of Mental Health Month. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And while I wouldn't say loneliness is a mental disorder like depression or anxiety, I think the fact that it takes a toll on your body is something to be worried about.
Yeah.
So, do you want to tell us about your loneliness experience a little bit?
Yeah. So it's a little self-created. I moved from New York to Iowa.
Yeah, the loneliest state.
The loneliest state.
Next to North Dakota.
Right. I work from home.
And you work from 9:30 p.m.
to 5:30 a.m.
Right. So when the world is moving, you are asleep.
Right. I wake up, I'm trying to wake up at noon, but I've been waking up at 3.
Yeah.
And then I just like hang out with dogs because I'm usually alone. There'll be like a week or two where I won't see other people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the context that we got working right. with. We're gonna...
The only time you see people is when you come here to record this.
Yes. I said before, this is my hour in the yard of life.
Yep.
Yeah.
So today we're going to cure your loneliness, John.
And also like... I've been getting out of the house a little bit more and hanging out with some friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've been dragging you to movies.
That you've done, yes.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It's great. So we're going to cure your loneliness today. And as with any mental health issue, sometimes the first step is just identifying it. Educating yourself is always some sort of solution. So that's what we're going to do here to John. That's what we're going to do here to John.
To me.
Yeah. That's true. I meant to say that. That's why we're leaving it in.
Yep. Your tongue rolls out like a fruit roll-up.
Yeah. My tongue is just very lonely.
Tip of the tongue.
It's got all these teeth and you can't relate with them.
Yep.
So I got some stats for you, John. And the stats are all over the place on loneliness. I think the first step to understanding your own personal loneliness
is to increase your offense, your attack stats.
And... Yeah. You gotta
get your AP up first, though.
Right. Which makes me, you gotta level up to like level 3 or 4 to increase that. It's not, anyway, that's some D&D jokes. So the first step of understanding your own loneliness is knowing that you're not alone, which is what every single article out there on loneliness says, because it's a cliche, but cliches exist for a reason, because it doesn't matter who you are. You could be an introvert, an extrovert. You could be perfectly mentally healthy. You could have anxiety, depression. Doesn't matter. Everyone gets lonely. And Cigna, the insurance company, ran a survey on 20,000 Americans and found that 43% of people in the U.S. always or sometimes felt lonely. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Even people in relationships felt lonely. The same study found that 43% of people said they didn't have a meaningful or, I guess, fulfilling relationship. And maybe the most frightening of all of them was that 47% of respondents said that they didn't have contact with people, with other people on a daily basis.
Wow. There's a lot of us, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that just don't talk
just
to
like,
people.
Yeah, oof.
I know. So, John, I must ask you, what is loneliness?
Wow, deep.
You make fun of it. It sounds like a dumb question, but it's when you feel alone, right?
It's when it's when you feel alone. Or you have a difficulty, even if you're not alone, you have a difficulty communicating your emotions.
That's the thing that I think is important, is that you're alone, you have trouble connecting or relating with other people, and you just can't express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you could be in a room full of people during that whole thing.
Yeah. So what I will hereby call chronic loneliness, just because I think it deserves a better name, goes a lot deeper than just feeling alone. And I found these two researchers from the University of Chicago. There's John T. Cassiapo and William Patrick.
Sorry. Did you say Cassiapo?
Cassiapo.
Thank you.
There are two P's. You got to put like the epiglottal stop. They wrote a lot about loneliness. There's an article from Psychology Today that kind of laid out their definition of loneliness. And they said it's kind of caused by three different things. There's these three pieces working together. The first is a level of vulnerability to social disconnection. So this is how much human interaction an individual needs to not feel lonely. And for some people, it could be like a couple close friends that you interact with
regularly,
reoccurring, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have a couple podcasts and you interact with a small community. That's fulfilling enough for some people, like me.
Yeah.
I don't feel lonely. But then there's some other people out there that really, they need like a close group of friends, like 5-6 friends. Maybe there's people out there that need to go to parties every weekend to feel connected to people. So it's different for every person. But as soon as you're not meeting that threshold, that your vulnerability for social disconnection goes up. So the second factor in feeling lonely is the ability to self-regulate the emotions associated with feeling isolated. And this is kind of what you talked about, where you just have a hard time expressing your emotions. And I it was a little hard for me to interpret what they said better than they stated it, so I'll just read what they wrote, which was, each person will feel distress when their need for companionship is not fulfilled. If loneliness continues over time, it can become a source of chronic upset. How well you manage those feelings affect the degree of pain you experience. If you are chronically upset, this makes you less able to evaluate others' intentions accurately. You may perceive them as rejecting you when they aren't.
Yes. You want to think, you want to be liked.
Yeah.
Especially if you're normally an outgoing person.
Yeah.
And the other thing that can affect that in your ability to regulate yourself is creative outlets. If you don't have those, that's not good.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. It's important to for me to make music regularly. Mm-hmm. I found I get more depressed if I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone kind of has their hobby. And if you don't have a hobby, it's kind of hard to stay.
Yeah. Especially when you're getting your own head and you say, like, oh, what's the point of this? I'm not making money from this. Or not, you know?
The third factor is mental representations and expectations of reasoning about other people. So they said on this one, it's a lot of people will interpret loneliness as being ineffective with making or maintaining friends or having poor social skills, and that's just not true. So they interpret people, I don't know, not connecting with them as them having poor skills. Therefore, they are less likely to use the social skills that they have. And all of this just becomes a vicious cycle where they withdraw from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, all of my personal relations to this are going to be, it's going to be a very personal thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
my relation
to that is like, you know, somebody doesn't, you send somebody a funny video and you don't get a response and you think, oh, they don't like it. They don't like me.
Yeah.
You know,
I do that to you all the time.
Yeah.
You send me videos all the time while I'm asleep and I just don't react to them.
It's because for me, my solution to that is I'm usually up so late that people read it in the morning and are getting ready and don't have time to respond.
Yeah. And everyone's different. Some people might become frustrated and angry, which then drives people away. It could make other people, like, they'll say, well, I've tried connecting with these other people and it's just not working, so it's not even worth trying. I also quite frankly think that there's a little bit of shame or embarrassment people feel. Like, telling people that you're lonely is, it's not easy to do. Like, I feel lonely. I think that there's a stigma that comes with it. But, like, if I tell my wife, Shelby, hey, we haven't just, like, talked as humans in a while. Can we just, like, hang out? She's like, yeah. There's no shame in that. It's just, hey, we need a connection here. We need to just be humans for a second instead of worrying about our child.
Yeah, if there's anything that you could take away from this whole thing, it's just like, it's okay to talk about. That's the whole point of Mental Health Awareness Month, right? Just to talk about how you feel.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got some sort of something that you're aware of that you need to work on.
Yeah. Like I said, the first step is identifying it. And if I can use you as an example, there's times where you'll text me and you're like, hey, I literally haven't talked to a real human being in a week. Can we just FaceTime for a little bit?
Yeah. And then baby Rory grabs the phone and I feel better immediately. Yeah. Or you know, you're cool too, I guess.
Yeah, but
mostly baby Rory. Yeah.
So there's no shame in feeling the way you feel. That is the most important thing about mental awareness, Mental Health Awareness Month. So what causes you to feel the way you feel, John? Tell me.
Well, there are a number of environmental factors that you could have.
Hey, that's a good segue. I feel like this is kind of, it feels like a stupid question, but there are substantive answers to this one as well. Because loneliness, like we said, begins with feeling disconnected from others, and a lot of those are environmental factors. There's a lot of opinions on this matter. I'll start with social media, because everyone's like, well, social media makes you feel lonelier. And there was one study published last year that suggested teens and younger people might be more affected by social media. And I think that's true. Because, like, even when I was 18, I would see people on Facebook hanging out, and I'd be like, they're intentionally leaving me out. But now I'm older, I'm like, I don't think most people are malicious like that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, no one can think of everyone and everything all the time.
And also, you have to think, any negative thoughts that you get in your brain about social interactions, there's, like, a 130% chance that everyone else in that social interaction has felt that at some point in their life.
Yeah.
So it's never going to be malicious that someone's trying to signal you out. Right. They could also be going through some stuff too.
Sure.
And I think social media connects people and has more net positives than negatives.
Oh, I was going to say, like, yeah, social media is great for me because, like, we get to talk to our podcasting friends and family daily. We get to talk to Ja'Cory and Arthur.
Yeah.
I just talked to Jason Lee the other day. I get to connect with these people and feel connected to them, which is the opposite of feeling lonely.
Yeah.
So I personally find social media to help. But that's not it. There's also situations like if you live alone or you have a sedentary lifestyle, like you just don't, like you're a hermit. You just don't leave the house very much. You're going to feel more isolated from the outside.
Yeah. I literally stop working at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And the light comes in, so I put cardboard up over my windows at night.
So you're actually isolating yourself from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you do go outside, because like every article is like, go outside.
And I might add, I did try blackout curtains. I've got three of them on.
But it doesn't work enough?
A little tiny speck makes the whole room light
up. Here's a hint. Yeah. This is like parting the curtain, if you will. My dad used to work... Well, he does work at a power plant, but he used to do these thing called outages where they would just work at night. And a lot of his coworkers would put aluminum foil up in their window, and that blocks sun out really well.
Oh, great. I'm going to feel like a conspiracy theorist now. Too.
Yeah. Well, that cardboard's much better.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Alex Jones, I think crazy, and I think tinfoil. Yeah. I think Alex Jones.
Yeah. I know what you mean. So what I was going to say is that all the articles would be like, if you want to feel less lonely, just go outside. Just the dumbest advice I've ever heard. But even if you do go outside, there's people that might just feel like they don't fit in. Like you go to, I don't know, somewhere where your hobby is, like a card shop or something, which is what I always think of because that's where a lot of nerds like myself congregate. You might feel like, oh, these people have been here for a really long time. They all know each other. I don't fit in with this crowd. That can cause some sort of loneliness. Also, age could be a factor as well. Apparently, 25% of people over the age of 65 felt chronically lonely.
Yeah, and 100% of 160-year-olds can't relate to the youth.
Dude, the day that we're recording this, the oldest person alive just passed away. 146 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? 146.
Wow, really? Just nailing the sadness of this one, huh?
I know. I haven't even made it to 46 yet.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Anyway, if you have poor health or poor sleep, it can lead to you withdrawing more and feeling lonely, of course. And there's a lot of environmental things that eat up a lot of time and make it harder for you to interact with other people. Like if you dive into work too much.
Yeah, like capitalism.
Capitalism in general. one article pointed out if you're caring for a parent or sibling that have an illness or something like that, that, it can take up a lot of your time and you'll have a hard time interacting with other people. There's also one thing that I wanted to seek out when I was researching is why humans even feel loneliness in the first place. Even though, like, the answer is obvious, is because when we were dumb cavemen, mm-hmm. if we were by ourselves, we were more likely to die.
Yeah.
So people in tribes were more likely to survive. But that's the general consensus with scientists today. For example, if you go and face a woolly mammoth by yourself, are you going to live longer than if you had five friends with you? I think you're going to live longer when you have five friends going up at that, against that woolly mammoth.
Unless you're by yourself and you make friends with it and then you become an animal whisperer.
What is this, Ice Age?
Listen, bud, I didn't see that movie yet. Not in a while. Yet.
It's been out for like a really long time, my friend. But the reason I bring this up is because then it funnels, evolution funnels into genetics. And apparently there are some researchers out there that believe there could be a genetic link to loneliness. So there was this survey in the UK. It was done on 487,647 people. So a huge survey that went and looked at self-reported genetic traits like depression, obesity, health, heart health, that kind of stuff, and asked them how lonely they were. And using those results, they found what they believe are 15 genetic regions associated with loneliness.
Wow.
Which they said around 4 to 5% of our tendency to feel lonely could be genetic. So just take that for what it's worth. There's a lot of problems with this study. Like, it's self-reported genetic stuff. They weren't looking at DNA or anything. It just feels kind of hokey to me. But yeah. How do you quantify 4 to 5% of your tendency to be loneliness? That's where I am a little...
Yeah, my dad texted the wrong number, went to movies by himself. He was lonely. So, and I guess I am sometimes too. So
yeah, that only happens 4 to 5% of the time. I don't understand. So that's all great. It's good to understand what causes loneliness. But the whole reason we're doing this episode is because being lonely actually has an effect on your body, and a bad one.
Yeah.
If that wasn't clear. There was this huge meta study conducted at Brigham Young University, who we've talked about before.
What's the name of the university?
Brigham Young University.
Brigham Young.
You made this joke last time, and I don't remember what we talked about.
I don't know. Something about kids?
No.
Is it a kids college?
No.
Do they throw little caps up in the air?
Yeah, that's what they do. Okay. I'm just going to go along with your joke. We've talked about it before. I don't remember when. I remembered the name, though, and you made that same exact joke. Brigham Young.
All right.
So they looked at 218 different studies and found that side effects of loneliness had a 50% increased risk of an early death, which means death before 70 years old, which is half the life of the world's oldest man.
How many were vegans, though? 5%.
But to put that in perspective, obesity only raised your chances of an early death by 30%. So it's 20% on top of that loneliness.
Man.
Lead to death. And that's horrifying, right? So there's a lot of side effects, which are all thanks to a hormone called cortisol, which I think we've also talked about before, because cortisol is the stress hormone. Mm-hmm. It puts people with chronic loneliness obviously have much higher cortisol levels than other. And I think we talked about it before with fight or flight, because that's one of the operating hormones in fight or flight, because it's used to regulate blood pressure. Well, let me put it, I'll give you an example.
Well, I don't need an example because I've got a Monster Energy drink in front of me, and that's the fifth ingredient.
Cortisol?
Cortisol.
Well, I was trying to come up with an example. The best one I had is being chased by a tiger. So if you're being chased by a tiger, you're going to need cortisol because it regulates your blood pressure to keep you from not dying from that tiger by pushing blood to the right places, to the right muscles, to help you run away from that tiger. Mm-hmm. It also helps reduce inflammation, which would be good if the tiger like scratches you a little bit. It'll help reduce the inflammation caused by that. And it also controls your metabolism, which would be good if your body was like, all right, we need some energy in this part. We need some more energy to run away from this tiger.
They're great.
Come on. So once that tiger is gone, though, if your body was to keep pumping cortisol out, it doesn't need to, that can be incredibly dangerous. Here's some side effects from too much cortisol. Weight gain, because when it's regulating your metabolism, it needs more energy, which means you need more food, and you're not burning it off because you're not running away from a tiger. You're going to end up with some extra pounds. It can lead to high blood pressure, because there's nothing to level out your blood pressure once the tiger's gone. It can lead to osteoporosis. It can lead to bruising and skin conditions like acne, muscle weakness, mood swings, slowed healing from sickness. So like the opposite of reduced inflammation. Well, I guess it's because it's turning down your immune system to reduce the inflammation, which means that you heal slower. It can lead to fatigue, headaches, and it can cause a lot of heart problems. Cortisol is not nice to your heart. And as a result, you'd be at an increased risk for things like depression and suicide, heart disease and stroke, memory issues and poor decision making. It can lead to alcoholism and drug abuse. And apparently it can advance Alzheimer's.
Wow, advanced Alzheimer's is the worst Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's not good. So it's dangerous. It's incredibly dangerous, and that's why I keep calling it chronic loneliness, because it's harmful to your body, and you should treat it like any other mental illness if you suffer from chronic loneliness.
Yeah. And now it's like I got this image in my head of just someone home all the time playing video games or something.
Yeah.
I feel like Blizzard should have a campaign that they'll give you a level 100 character, but you have to go out to eat pizza with someone.
That's why Pokemon Go was so great, right?
I don't know.
No? Dude, there's a study done on that too, and this was a really long time ago, so I don't remember, but they took like Fitbit steps, and it increased an astronomical number once Pokemon Go came out.
Wow.
Pokemon Go was like incredibly effective at getting
people
outside.
It made a lot of ghosts sad by my house.
Yeah, no.
Because a lot of people would park in the graveyard, and the ghosts would be like, oh, someone's visiting me from like the 1800s.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to get to that Poke Center that someone made on like gravestone, which is pretty insensitive of them.
Well, it's,
but
it's
I had to get a
Poliwhirl. It's all an algorithm. anyway, so some of the articles that I researched really bothered me, because most of them were like, to fix loneliness, just get outside your house, join a club, which I think is great if you're in a lower stage of loneliness, like where I'd say you might be, a very lower stage of loneliness where you're not having strokes, you're not resorting to drug abuse or alcohol, you're not that far. So I think going and joining a club would be good. But if you are turning to things like alcohol to curb your loneliness, or you're having heart problems, or you've got severe depression thinking about suicide, you need to go get help. And that's where therapy comes in. And there is actual therapy for loneliness, which is why I think that it should be closer to a mental disorder.
I have a hard time understanding that, because I'm paying that person to talk to me.
Well, no, not even that. So you can go for regular therapy, but they'll start using cognitive behavioral therapy to cure loneliness, which we've talked about before. Again, I don't remember why. It was in the PTSD episode, because they're using cognitive behavioral therapy for that as well. And cognitive behavioral therapy is where they try to change someone's basic behavior by getting to the source of the issue. So they figure out where the behaviors are coming from. They do talk to you, but they try to figure out what's causing the loneliness. And then they
help you.
Yeah, they help develop your problem-solving skills and your self-confidence through things like facing your fears, role-playing, learning to like meditate and calm and relax. And this works for stuff like depression, PTSD, and loneliness.
That's
so there's
great.
There's like actual therapy out there to help curb loneliness. It's not just talking to someone. So that's good. And I think if you're to that point, you never need to be afraid to go get a therapist. I've had too many people tell me like, I don't want to talk to a head shrink, or I don't want to take medicine. You are worth it. You deserve to be happy. And if you're not happy, there are means of being happy.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the other thing is there's going to be two aversions to that.
Mm-hmm.
One is that if you're in a tough spot, you have to wait. You're going to have ups and downs.
Uh-huh.
And when you're in an up, you better make sure to schedule that, because I haven't.
Yeah.
And I want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're down, you're like, I don't have time. I have other stuff to do.
Yeah.
And the other version
is not worth it.
Is you're going to hear a lot of platitudes. You're not alone. You're whatever. And it's really hard for me to relate to those, because I know they're just in general out there. But you got to think, like, if people that are trying to help other people or want to reach as many people as possible, there's no way around speaking in platitudes.
Yeah.
And you have to take those and apply them to yourself personally. So if you want to say, you're not alone, think about it and apply it to yourself in a personal way. I could FaceTime my friend Nick. Like, there are problems. There are solutions to your problems that you will have to personalize that you cannot accept as a generalization.
Yeah. That's what I said before. Like, the cliche is a cliche, but there are means to solving loneliness. So get out there, do what you got to do. And after the break, I've got some questionable suggestions for curing loneliness besides therapy. They're not like bad. It's just they feel really lazy.
All right.
I'll explain better after the break. Let's take one of those things. John, there's places people can go to find us, but there's even more exciting news right now.
Whoa.
As people know, we are part of the Flying Machine Network.
Yes, we are. You can always
learn more about that by going to flyingmachine.network or patreon.com/flyingmachine if you want to support us. But John, we have a new show on the network.
We do. We added The Losers.
The Losers. They are a podcast that look at Oscar nominees that went up against each other and see who really should have won out. I was looking at some of their old episodes. There was one that just the movies that went up against each other surprised me.
Oh no. Oh yes.
Hang on. I forget what it was. Shrek and something else. It was in 2002, and it was the best animated feature, and it was Shrek versus the Jimmy Neutron Movie.
Oh no!
I didn't even know that those went head to head for best animated picture.
Wow!
But they've done a lot of great stuff, like the best costume design for Darling versus Ship of Fools, or best production design. I think you'll like this one. It was Grand Budapest Hotel versus Into the Woods.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so go listen to them. We're excited to have a new member of the Flying Machine family, so show them the love that you've shown us.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're showing you some love, now that sounds dirty, I have some other suggestions for curing loneliness.
No, you don't.
I do.
You have other people's suggestions.
I do. This is from happierhuman.com. Like, I don't want to rag on these too much because I do think some of these would work for getting out there and interacting with human beings. Like, I asked Shelby if I could tell this story, so I'm going to tell it.
And then I'll give my real personalized advice on what I do.
Okay. So Shelby has an in-home daycare, so she talks to children for like 10 hours a day, and that's the only human interaction she gets besides me and my three-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
So she's like, I need to get the F out of this house. So every Thursday, down at our hipster area of the city, they have like free yoga or dance or this thing called slam where they like hit drums and stuff. And that has worked incredibly well for her. Now she gets out of the house and gets to interact with human beings. So I do think that that works for people. But these suggestions just kind of suck. I took out the worst ones, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So I left what the best ones. But what did you want to say before I go through this list?
When I went to visit my family in New York,
mm-hmm.
I hung out with my friend Javi.
Yep.
And he mentioned to me how important it was for him when he was like in the zone of just studying at home and mm-hmm. like studying because he's doing like computer major stuff. And before that, he was starting to be a lawyer.
Oh, he's majoring in computer?
He's majoring in computer. And we talked about how important it is to have small talk.
Yeah.
Because if you're missing that from your life, it really makes an impact. Like, if I'm home all the time and I go to the gas station mm-hmm. and I get a coffee.
Yeah.
And I say, like, hey, I noticed you got rid of this flavor or whatever. Have you ever tried this? Like, that small talk with the cashier, that makes a world of difference if you haven't talked to somebody. Just like little things like that, you learn to appreciate.
Yeah, sometimes you forget what it's like. Like, this is going to sound really dark, but sometimes you forget what it's like to interact with other humans.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need
some I can sort relate of to Shelby, except right. that mine are 10 dogs.
Right. You just talk to 10 dogs all day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do talk to them. That helps too.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it's definitely answer. Different than interacting with a human.
Yeah.
Being, so. Here's the suggestions for happierhuman.com. Get out of your house. This is a big one.
Did they say that?
Yeah, that was the first one they had on here. Help someone else. So if someone needs to cross in the street, you go help them.
Yeah.
That'll help. Get a pet.
Eh.
It's not a human unless you have a human pet. That's called human trafficking, and I wouldn't suggest
that. Don't do that. It's illegal.
Get more sleep.
And wrong, might I add. Yeah, get more sleep. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that either. You could oversleep. I sleep. Yeah. I sleep a lot, and then I'm sad, and I sleep more.
Yeah.
That's not a good mechanism to deal with it.
Okay. Well,
but
what about,
let me counteract that and offer a positive one.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're not ready to be around people, but you want to like get out of the house, mm-hmm. go for a walk by yourself around the block.
Yeah.
And even if you could do it with listening to a podcast or something, that's fine. You could go to strangersocialshow.com. But
more, yeah.
Having nothing on and just like taking everything in is very meditative and helpful too.
Yeah. How about connecting with a friend?
Yeah.
What about
via Game Boy Advance trade?
You gotta get a link cable. Those are very hard to find. You gotta go to a
GameStop or something.
Yeah, thrift game store. Yeah. Attend meetups. I don't think there's like any meetups in Cedar Rapids, but in bigger cities, I'm sure there are meetups.
Yeah.
Don't wait for someone else to call or email. It's an interesting addition. Contact them first. I want to know who this is written by, because no one like emails their friends, do they?
You'd be surprised. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I got a little lonely. I email the IRS and say, hey, thanks for the tax return. I had a great time with it. Yeah. It sucks that I have to pay a couple $1,000 to you guys, but if you ever want to hang out, you know where I live.
And you know what my income is, so you know what a good date would be.
Right, right.
Be creative. Draw, write, color, or build something. I think that's good. Like you said before, like having a creative outlet.
I don't like when people say they're not creative, because I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think you cannot be creative in some way.
Yeah. Like everyone has their hobby, right?
You could literally color and the lines are there for you.
Dude, you can find creativity in anything, which is, I don't know why, but the thing that comes to mind is when I was younger, I would spend a lot of time alphabetizing all my DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got really creative with fast ways to organize DVDs. And I was still being creative. Like I was like, I'll section these out, and I got really fast at sorting DVDs.
Dude, that's a great thing. And beyond that, like, I think writing things down, if it's just your thoughts, like just sit down and you don't know what to write, right?
Actually,
I don't know
that's
what to write.
On here. I think I deleted it. One of the suggestions was keep a journal.
Okay.
So connect with someone else who's lonely.
I think keeping a journal is important, but I think that it's worded strangely.
Yeah.
If you think of it as a journal, it becomes a task and it becomes threatening.
Yeah.
Or intimidating, I mean. You don't have to think about it that way. Just writing stuff down helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just write down your thoughts, type up your thoughts, save them somewhere. You could delete them after.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
But it uses a different part of your brain that helps you think about consciously. It's kind of like having a conversation with someone, because you're thinking about what you want to say.
Yeah.
In your mind, it's so easy to keep things temporary and delete them. But if you're writing it down on paper, at least you have that second step of what am I going to articulate?
Yeah. Visit new places, John. Volunteer. You could volunteer.
Volunteer.
You could go donate blood. I don't know. What do people do to volunteer? Help with an animal shelter.
You can help with animal shelters, yes. But don't get your hopes up. You're going to be snuggling pups. You're going to be cleaning a lot of poop.
Yeah, yeah. Get involved in a sport, join a gym, talk to your neighbors, attend after school events.
I disagree with join a gym.
Why?
Because you shouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
Yeah. Unless you have like a personal trainer or something.
Yeah.
Go to restaurants with community tables. I feel like that's a big city thing. I've never been to a place with community tables. Have you?
I don't know.
Here in Cedar Rapids.
I don't go anywhere in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
But I imagine there's probably cafeterias or something.
I don't know.
Do people go to those?
No.
Aren't there places that are like school cafeterias? Like, I guess like at the mall.
Yeah,
food
like
court?
A food court, yeah.
Who's going to do that?
Not me. I'm not going to talk to people at food court. I'll look like I'm not all there.
Oh, no.
This one was a little interesting. Hang out at a museum. I don't even talk to my wife when I'm at a museum, because I don't want to break the silence.
Yeah.
Why would I go to a museum? Anyway.
These are kind of out of place. I mean, let's think. Okay, let's list places that are socially acceptable to approach other people.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm having a tough one here.
Yeah, and not
people go and do things to be alone a lot of times too, to escape from the chaos of their life, like at a Starbucks or something. I think the only way to approach somebody, you have to find a right opportunity, but everyone's also going to misinterpret it as like, oh, they're trying to flirt with me or something.
Yeah. I think the place that I find myself talking to people, strangers, the most is probably just the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like even talking to people
like, oh, that's great. This is good. Have you tried this? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the opposite of that is you should never... I think there was a my brother and me rule that you shouldn't hit on anyone that's working because they can't run away.
Yeah, it's a very good
rule. And you should keep that in mind for when you're trying to try these out.
Yeah.
But there are places people go to actually socialize. Like if you have kids.
Yeah.
If you go to a park and there's kids playing, you can make friends with parents and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's because then you immediately have – that's the important thing, because like everything else on this list is join a dance class, join an art class, join a cooking class, join a book club, take a hike. Like all of these – take a hike. All of these are like things where you would go to a place where people already have something in common with you. So when I take
– And they are intending to socialize with you.
Right. Two very important things. So when I go and take my daughter to a play area at the mall or whatever, I already have something in common with those people, is that I have a child.
Yeah.
So there's already an easy engagement point for those people.
Yeah, you could just be like, hey, tough to keep them alive, right? You got to feed them all the time. And you
got to water them.
Yeah.
Give them Miracle-Gro.
And like, oh my God.
That's the wrong thing.
No, I think that's different. I don't have a kid, though. I don't know. What kind of fertilizer do you use for Rory? You can't even think of
beans.
It, though. Beans. Oh, okay.
She loves black beans.
Yeah.
Don't work so hard you ignore your personal life, John. That one's for you. Yeah. Read a book or do work at a coffee house. No one really talks to each other at a coffee house, do they?
Well, one thing that I noticed, I edit another podcast, mm-hmm. and he does a lot of open mics.
Yeah.
And that's a really great place to meet people.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. You go there intent on, you know, being entertained and mm-hmm. socializing.
Well, that...
So that's my version of a coffee house, is the difference between if you go to a coffee house where there's people playing music and stuff, great.
Yeah.
But if you go to a coffee house and people are trying to go on their laptop and you pop your head over the top of it.
What you working on?
Yeah, then maybe not.
Yeah, the last thing I have on my list is get a new hobby. And maybe people don't have hobbies. I hear that a lot where people are like, I need a hobby.
Yeah.
And I think that can go a long way. Learning new stuff opens you up to a world of a new community. Like I'll plug my dumb YouTube video where I 3D modeled. I spent 9 hours 3D modeling Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
Even learning that new skill, even though I was relearning it, opened me to a whole new community of Blender fanatics.
Yeah.
To the point where I was just like watching Blender tutorials for fun.
Yeah.
Like looking up the forum posts on how to do certain textures and stuff. Like, it opens you up to a whole new part of the world. It's just
I can relate crazy. To that almost literally with After Effects, just a different program, where I found this guy, and I'll even plug him because he's amazing, Justin Odisho.
Mm-hmm.
He does all these... If you type in any After Effects tutorial, it's probably him that's going to pop up, because he's got the market on lockdown on YouTube. Yeah. And then I'll reach out to him on Instagram, and he responds, and he'll, like, help you with personal stuff. Like, he's really cool.
Yeah.
So that was a neat thing. It's not that I've become best friends with the guy, but... Yeah. Yeah, learning a skill like that. And beyond that, let me also mention that I read an article, I cannot remember the name of it right now, but it basically stated, and the most important point is the point of it, mm-hmm. that it if you are creating a hobby and you think, oh, I used to do that, but I haven't in a while, and nowadays, everything that you create is seen as a means to monetize it.
Yes.
You cannot
That's
do
exactly
that.
What I was going to say.
Right. You can't think like, oh, I'll create these things, and then someone says, okay, are you going to sell them on Pinterest?
Yeah.
You have to create to create.
Yeah. I was going to suggest like one of the cheap hobbies that everyone's doing now is making podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out doing it basically for free. Like, we didn't have a lot of costs going into podcasting. And that was a great way to get out of the house, learn new stuff, mm-hmm. and interact with a friend. But I think too many people go into it being like, well, I see Joe Rogan over there making buku bucks.
Yeah.
I can do that too. It's not about them. I don't even look at our stats anymore because it's not about that. It's about the fun of podcasting, having a hobby.
But then the rewards come as a plus. Like we have
I've
a
met
community,
a lot of great people.
Yeah,
yeah. We have a like you said, a good community. We have a Patreon where we can upgrade our gear.
Yeah,
and that's great.
But you don't go in with the intent of doing that.
Like
unless
that sly plug that I did there. Someone's gonna give me crap for that. But yeah, yeah. So a hobby is like. I'm very active in the podcasting groups that I'm in because people are always asking for advice because they have a new hobby. Like, mm-hmm. what programs do you use?
Yeah, and I'm always trying to sell you on making me music for money.
Yeah. Well, that's enough plugging my own interests. Should we close out the show for this week, John?
I think so.
Well, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.